Welcome to the Say Network podcast, where we talk about everything from youth ministry to Redwoods to programs and youth culture. I'm Megan, and I'm here with our producer, Abraham. He's waving, but he doesn't have a mic. I'm also here with Dave Widoff, who serves as our Christian Education Director for Discipleship in the youth department. Welcome,
hey,
Dave. And I'm also here with Lieutenant Colonel Cheryl Tollerud, who serves as the Assistant Territorial Program Secretary. Did I get that right?
For Core Ministries.
For Core Ministries. almost there. Welcome.
Nice to be here.
Well, look, I'm really excited. This month, our Redwoods topic is on navigating change, and it was actually written by Abraham, who wrote about, you know, how do we kind of navigate change through our lives? And I thought it would be really fitting to spend this episode talking about how we can navigate change through something that's pretty relevant to us in the Salvation Army, which is officer change, especially this time of the year, right? So for anyone who might not be familiar, every year, usually in May, the appointment changes come out. They're announced. And basically what that means is we announce who is, which officers will be moving, where they'll be moving. So whether you've been an employee or you've just been in a corps, chances are if you've been in the Army for more than a couple years, you've probably been impacted by an officer change at some point or other in your time in the Salvation Army. And so what we want to do for this episode is just really kind of explore how do we navigate through these officer changes, and how do we do this well? Because there's kind of a lot involved when it comes to officer changes and moves and stuff. So just to kind of get a balanced perspective on this, I thought it would be really cool to have two perspectives. So we've got Colonel, you'll give us kind of the officer perspective on this. And then also Dave, you're going to give us kind of like a core member perspective. So I'll start with Colonel. What are some of the appointments that you've had since becoming an officer?
Well, I've been an officer for 35 years this year, so I've had quite a few, but we've been fortunate to be places for a long time. We've had 17 years in divisional leadership positions and now here at THQ, and then we've had 17 years in corps appointments in a rural corps in Twin Falls, Idaho, in the inner city at Moore Street, in the city of Salem, in suburban Torrance. We've had multicultural ministries corps appointments where we've shared the corps with a Korean and a Portuguese and English ministry together in Torrance. And then we also did that in Santa Clara. So we've had a lot of wonderful appointments and met a lot of great people.
Yeah, and you're really actually cool. Going through an appointment change as we speak.
Yes, I've just been appointed as the Territorial Assistant Secretary for Personnel.
Awesome. And then Dave, how about you? What has been your kind of involvement with Salvation Army over the years?
Yeah, I grew up in the Salvation Army, actually in another territory, and went to the same corps for probably up through college. When I was in college, I was getting back on some weekends, but I guess kind of transitioning into different places. When I went to grad school, I was far away, so I ended up in a different territory at a new corps. And my first job was yet in another territory at another corps. So I've bounced around to a few different corps, and I've been around for a lot of different officer changes over the years, especially at the one I grew up at. You know, 22 years at one corps, and I think probably 6 or 7 officer sets, maybe. Yeah.
So you've been all over the place, basically.
Yeah, a lot of different corps and a lot of different officers.
Awesome. Well, I'm really excited to kind of get your guys' take on this idea of navigating change. So I want to just start off with what I think is kind of something important to talk about is sort of this like emotional thing that people go through when moves come out. So I've been in a corps for a long time. My home corps, actually, we had really historically like officers who would be in the corps for a really long time. I remember most corps appointments in my home corps would last 7 to 9 years. It just kind of depended. I know that's kind of unusual for the Army. I mean, how long would you say core appointments last probably
3 to 5 years.
Yeah, 3 to 5 years generally. So like 7 to 9 years is a long time. So yeah. I remember when like we would find out core officers were moving, everybody in the core just kind of went through this sort of, I can't think of a better sort of analogy, but everyone kind of went into mourning in a sense, you know, yeah. Like particularly if they'd been there for a long time and just really integrated into people's lives in the core and stuff. And so when they would move, it was just really kind of hard for a while, you know. People were really, really sad. But what was interesting is as time goes on and we got closer to sort of farewelling Sunday, which is, you know, their last Sunday, people in the core, the attitudes, the emotions kind of started to change, and people, there was sort of this excitement, you know, they were really excited to sort of bless their officers as they went on to their new appointment. And then also there was excitement about welcoming the new officers as well. But all that to say, there was kind of just this roller coaster of emotions in those couple of months leading up to their actual departure. So I want to find out, just from like the core officer perspective, what is it like when you get the news that you are going to get a new appointment? Like, what kind of emotions do you go through?
I use the same word that you just did, and that's roller coaster. You're sad to be leaving the people that you've invested in, that you've been entrusted with, who have become your family, and you love them and the body life together, and you've gone through a birth of a baby, the death of a spouse, whatever. You've gone through all of life together, and that's been really special. So now you feel like your heart's being ripped out. So you have that sadness that comes from that. At the same time, there's this excitement about something new, new challenges that might be coming, an adventure that the Army has faith in you and to take on a new challenge. So you kind of go through excitement, heartbreak, challenge. You go through a lot of the same emotions that the people are going through as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting that on the flip side, officers are going through just as many emotions as people in the Corps. Dave, yeah. How about you? What has been your experience in terms of, like, you know, emotions and stuff when you've had a Corps officer change, particularly if it's an officer that maybe you've just connected really well with?
Yeah. You know, the first thing that comes to mind when I think about officer change, particularly at the Corps I grew up at, was kind of maybe, I guess, uncertainty. The Corps I grew up at was, I feel like it was pretty stable. We had a lot of leaders, and frankly, that Corps could keep rolling along even if there weren't officers there for a long time. So it wasn't a concern that, you know, things were suddenly going to fall apart with new officers coming in, but just a concern about, like, what's going to happen? What's going to be our future? Are they going to get maybe the vision that we have at this core for what we want to do? Are they going to change everything? It's sort of a question is, like, is this new officer really going to integrate well? Because it's kind of an unknown in some ways. On the other hand, I suppose you hear the announcement and you know who it is coming in. So then you're trying to sort of figure out, you know, what are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? How are they going to sort of fit into this community that's already sort of doing its thing? Yeah.
I think it's also a time of, as you're kind of pointing out, insecurities.
Yeah.
There is the officers asking themselves, what did I accomplish during this time? Was there anything meaningful and purposeful and eternal that happened? And we can be very hard on ourselves, or we can be very easy to say, look what God has done.
Yeah.
And so there's an insecurity there that comes with, like, did I do everything that I could have? Is there something more to be done? And then the soldiers have that insecurity of what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out how this is all going to work in the dance. And they've had a person that has invested in them, and they've told their story to them, and now they have to tell their story to somebody else.
Yep.
And can they be vulnerable? Can they trust the next person? Yeah. So that insecurity, it really does come down to a time of trusting the Lord and calming our hearts in the midst of a storm.
Yeah. I was just thinking, there's some even just practical things too. When I was a kid, it's got to think there's generations going through this experience together, right? When I was like a teenager, The moves were interesting, not just for your corps officer, but your whole division, because it's like some of your friends, your close friends in junior high, high school, or younger, they can be moving away. You mentioned this excitement, too, about going to a new appointment. There's almost the opposite with that, too. You know, you have these people moving into your division or into your corps, and suddenly you could have new friends around. And that was kind of almost a cool thing about the moves, in a way. So, yeah, not all bad, not all mystery, not all uncertainty. There was some excitement even as a kid.
I think it's amazing how many different people you get to meet. And so that's the excitement.
Right, yeah.
That's the fulfilling thing. And what comes into your heart is, here I thought I could only love this many people. I remember when my first son was born and I poured all my love into him. And then I found out I was pregnant again. And I'm almost ashamed to admit, but I was scared that I didn't have enough love for another child. And I'm like, I poured my whole heart into this child. And then the next one came, and what you found out is it wasn't subtraction or division. It was multiplication. And it was exponential multiplication when it came to cleaning house and all those kinds of things. But the same is true in the core life. This is your family, and your heart just expands because there's more and more people. And I think that's true on both sides, because the soldiers enjoy getting to know another officer, their family, and what new things they may bring to the table.
Yeah, that's great. I want to kind of also talk about expectations as well. One thing that I think is really interesting is in what Abraham wrote about John the Baptist. He used John the Baptist as an example of somebody who navigates through change well. And there's something really interesting in there, and it's actually in Luke's account of John the Baptist. But basically, the people. John is, you know, he's baptizing people and he's telling them, he's baptizing them and telling them to repent, for the kingdom of God is coming. And the people, as they're hearing this, it says in there that some of them were even asking whether or not John the Baptist was Jesus. So there was kind of like expectations that the people had for John the Baptist, but then there was expectations that they had for Jesus as well, which I think is really, really interesting. And so I guess in terms of like moves and officer changes, appointment changes, I'm curious, like, what do you guys think are some of the expectations that as a corps we put on officers, and how do we sort of manage those expectations that we have for our leaders? And it's kind of a hard question.
Yeah. Well, I laugh at that just because as a corps person, I think we're probably a bit unfair maybe to officers when they come in that change, because we want them to do everything right that our last officers were doing and do all of the things that our last officers were doing wrong. We want you to fix those things too. So you just have to be perfect, right? All the strengths and none of the weaknesses. No, I say that as a bit of a joke, but I think it is important for core people to realize that, you know, your officers are not like the people that they have leadership over the core, but the core people, the community of God, are the people that need to drive the vision and the ministry and the work of the core. If we put so much expectation on our officers to be like the end all leaders that do everything and run everything in our core, you know, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment, and we're setting our core officers up for kind of failure in that way. I think our expectations have to be maybe sort of moderated, and just we have to understand that the people coming in here are human too, and they have real weaknesses. They have ministry things that are not their strengths. You know, your favorite ministry may be your officer's least favorite thing to do, and they may love some ministry you've never even heard of. You know, we talk about officers in the Army doing so many different things. So yeah, those things may not match up with your expectations, but it doesn't mean that ministry and church life can't flourish and thrive where you're at.
So like having realistic expectations.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of remembering, right? I love that they're human at the end of the day.
Yeah, totally.
I use the word real too, you know, be authentic. We want people to be authentic. Well, we need to be real in our expectations of other people. And we want our pastors to... our core officers to shepherd us, of course, and they want to do that even up to the very end. But I like what you were sharing, Dave, about it's the core it's not just an officer, it's all of us working together. And that's what I think helps a lot during change, is if we step up in our leadership. Think back to what you were like when that Corps officer first came. Were you as faithful as you are now? Did you have a leadership position then? Or have you grown? And obviously, we would want to say that we've grown in our spiritual walk. We wouldn't want to be the same Christian we were 3 or 5 years ago. But now's the time for us to really say, this is our core. And it's a time to examine again your ownership, the leadership, your dedication. And it's easy during transitions to kind of slip away and kind of hide and say, oh, I don't want to do this anymore, and I'm just not going to let them know that I like this to do. Or it's a time for us to just adjust our attitudes. And maybe we made some mistakes, and it's a fresh beginning for everybody. I don't have to be held to what I was here. I'm now growing, and I'm going to do something new in my life. So I think it's a great opportunity at the same time that it is very difficult. That's a reality. But the expectations are, maybe this is a good time that I can make some changes too.
Yeah. I think further on expectations, Scripture outlines for us expectations of what an elder, what a pastor really should be in our core. So in another way, it should be easier on the community and on our pastors to say, to make those expectations match up, right? There shouldn't be any mystery about what our expectations are for each other in the church. If you look at 1 Timothy 3, it outlines all the qualifications for an elder, for a pastor, and for what they do in the church. If we're all on the same page, scripturally, with our roles, then I don't think we're going to miss each other in that relationship between a pastor and a congregation. We're going to know where each other's coming from. But I think it takes being grounded on scripture in that regard.
Yeah, I like that you're both kind of saying, like, we have a responsibility as a congregation, as a member of that church or of that core, we have a responsibility as well in managing the expectations.
Yeah, precisely.
Well, you remain. The officer moves on, and then the next one comes in and is expecting a congregation that wants to grow too.
Yeah,
and is going to learn some history, but it's not going to dwell there.
Right.
Because it's always helpful to have a little bit of history and context of things. But you remain faithful, you remain attending, you remain dedicated, you remain in relationships that you've established. So, for instance, if a youth worker is there, their examples could be very powerful to the young people. Because they're going through transition and uncertainty, and it's probably their first time. And the youth worker has a really strong role to be able to say, yes, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our faith and our relationship is going to broaden with this. And so their goodness is going to help in setting that example. Yeah.
All right. So I think another really interesting part about the story with John the Baptist is that I mentioned before he had a very specific message prior to Jesus coming. And his message was repent for the kingdom of God is near. And then once Jesus came, his message, he baptizes Jesus and his message becomes repent, the kingdom of God is actually here now. It's no longer coming, but it's actually here. And I love that seamless transition from John in that he changes his message, and in that he's pointing people towards Jesus. There's just this really nice, smooth change in leadership, because I'm sure John probably had some followers, I'm sure, but he made sure that they didn't stay just following him. They transitioned and he pointed them towards Jesus and everything that he was doing. And I just think it's a really great example of just a smooth transition.
In the old King James Version, it says prepare the way.
Oh, I love that.
You know, and that's an important part in the transition, that you prepare the way. And when you talk about John the Baptist having his disciples, he did. And Andrew was one of those disciples, and he says, John the Baptist says, here's Jesus. And then Andrew becomes a disciple of Jesus. It's not that John the Baptist says, oh, now I'm less, although he said later, you know, he says, I must become less and he must become greater. But there's now, it's a warm handoff.
Yeah.
It's saying, here, you've been following me and I've been guiding you in godly principles and in your faith. And now here's the fulfillment of your faith. Now, the next officer is obviously not Jesus. We want to be Christ-like, but, you know, that's a little bit of a jump there. But they want to continue that warm handoff and continuing the discipleship process.
I think that's an awesome point. No, I think what you're saying is it's a handoff. It's not, you're not handing it off, but it's like our jobs as ministers is to constantly be handing it off till it's eventually completed. You know, till we're eventually handing everybody off to Jesus. That's the next officer's job, is to continue this passing on and kind of putting in their life and pouring into the next, pouring in whatever they have, their experience, into that person.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do think in terms of moving and changing, there's a huge amount of faith that is taking place in the whole move. There's faith with the officer and trust in God that whatever's coming next is good, you know, or is this, it's for their own good. And then also for the members, there's this whole like faith aspect that is taking place, which I think is kind of interesting and unique, I think, in the Salvation Army.
Yeah.
That they're putting a lot of trust, and that's a good time to kind of like see where your faith is. How much do you trust God in all of this for across the board between officers and members? And I think it's funny because you're not immune to change even out of the Salvation Army.
Right.
Right.
The church that I attend currently, we went through three changes in youth pastors within a period of like 4 years. And it was, you know, they moved on to other, you know, opportunities and other things. But we stayed as the volunteers. We stuck around. And it was sort of like, what do we do here? What do we do now? What is our attitude going to be with the next one? And it was very much an attitude of humility. Mm-hmm. We had to be very humble and very sort of like, how much do we love the youth ministry? How much do we love the local place? And that was sort of what we felt. And praise God, man. Like, it was like this, the next one came in and did something new. And the next one came in and did something new. And we were just going, let's do it. Let's see what's happening. And let's stay humble in all of this. So I think,
yeah.
Kind of drawing on both of those, this point and the last point, but yeah.
That examining of your heart. I remember a local officer coming up to me and saying, well, things are going to be different when the new officer comes. And I said, yes, kind of a duh, but you are the consistency in this congregation and your commitment and where you have grown. Where were you before? And my job as the officer is to say, you've grown so much. And those last days that you're together, the last couple months, is a time to pour into that someone and give them confidence and say, I've seen you grow. And I know that you're ready to take on the next responsibility. And no matter what changes, as Dave was saying before, the next officer may have a different real, not priority, but love of certain things. And so they may have been, the past officer may have done the music, but now you've got to step up and be part of the worship team and take on, because the next officer maybe can't do music. And so you just, but you take that commitment at this point and say, I can do that. And the officer encourages it. And then it's a time of gratitude as well. Thank you for being a leader while I've been here. Thank you for continuing that leadership when the next officer comes in, because you give continuity. You give consistency, and you keep this church moving along. This core is more powerful because of the local leadership. Yeah. There are always gaps that come in, and I guess as an officer, you come in and you say, good, this is covered. Good, I've got strong leadership here. Oh, this is an area that we need to give attention to, and I may need to give some leadership to until we can bring in somebody. And who could that somebody be? And one of the most, for me, I call it a fun thing. We used to sit on the platform as the Corps officers. That was very formal.
All right, yeah.
But, and my husband would preach or I'd preach. And I would, when I was sitting up there, one great thing about that was I would look at the whole congregation. I'd think, oh, there's Dolores. what does Dolores do in the Corps? Not in a manipulative say, but how is she connected? And what could she do? Because I've seen this happen in her life. And then you start looking a little bit differently at people than what you've got used to. And as a new officer coming in, you're looking at everybody with new, fresh eyes, and you're thinking, oh, they have some potential there.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And it's really fun to see that happen. So as you're coming in and you look at and you say, oh, I've got a great Corps Sergeant Major that is a strong, I'll have to tell you, there's a Corps I was at not too long ago, and the Corps Sergeant Major got up and he led the prayer. And all he did was bring me into worship. And I was so blessed. If nothing else happened that day, and it did, I would have been stronger in my Christian walk because that Corps Sergeant Major brought the people together in prayer. And then the band and the songsters did their part, and then the Corps officer got up to give the message, which could be I know Dave's brought a message here too, you know, so it could be anyone that, you know, is ready for that or maybe isn't quite sure they're ready, but that's how the local officers are a part. But then you work together, and it's amazing. I'm kind of getting off onto the whole body together, but we are better when we're together. But it takes a while when you're coming in to find out where the gaps are. And then as an officer, you do your best to fill the gap with the people that are there and grow them into those relationships.
Yeah, the only thing I was thinking in this whole conversation, we're talking about change in terms of officers and the moves, and we could probably have a whole podcast on the moves specifically, but yeah, I know, right? the moves come with things that are good and bad. I think one of the good things, even historically, one of the reasons we've had the moves is I think our early founders, they wanted to avoid sort of the celebrity pastors, mm-hmm. right? That was kind of one of their fear. Now, we also started in revivals, and it was kind of a revivalist thing to have, you know, one pastor work with a bunch of congregations and travel around. And anyways, that all led into the moves. My point in all this is that you talked about sort of passing on our congregation to Jesus or to the next officer. And that's sort of reflective of this idea that we're not, as pastors, as ministers, you know, none of us would be superstars. None of us are, the Corps doesn't revolve around us. And we're shepherds. I think when Abraham was talking, I was thinking about that concept. We're shepherds for the great shepherd. So in that sense, we're like stewards. And the people, you know, we might say my congregation, my Corps, my people, just because it's easier. But we all recognize, I think, that the people, the church, belongs to him. So when we leave, when we move out, we pass that on to the next officer, to shepherd, until the final shepherd comes to take us all to his kingdom. It's a really beautiful imagery in all of that. But I think it kind of, it shows a respect for all these relationships, right? That the people belong to God, and that, you know, as officers, as pastors, you know, we come and we do our part. And then if it's time to move on, then we move on.
Say our congregation, my people, because we personalize it because we're passionate and invested. But that is a very important part to say that we are stewards of that.
Right.
And in the scripture, it talks about, you know, one plants and Apollos watered and God gives the increase.
Yeah.
And that's important for us to realize. But it is such a blessing to be able to be a body of believers together. And that just expands with transitions because people have to grow. And then there are those that get very hurt by the transitions. So those that are in the congregation will know some of the weaker members. They need a little more relationship and encouragement at that time. And until the new officer also understands their situation. But it's, as we said, it's not only the officer, it's everyone together.
Yeah.
So kind of on this idea of change and moving on and kind of what I'm kind of hearing, and what I think is really encouraging is that we shouldn't be fearful of change, but we should embrace it, really. I mean, Scripture talks about the things we're talking about in Scripture is talking about that. And just kind of on a practical sense, is there sort of like any practical ways that we can transition well, that we can kind of help this process to go smoothly, kind of like some day-to-day things that we can do, you know, if we know we have a new officer coming in, or if we know that, you know, a change is coming. And this really does apply not just in the Corps, but even for employees as well. You know, if we have somebody new coming in, like, I'll give you an example. We got a new TUIS this past year. And our past TUISs had been here for quite a while. They'd been here for 6 years. And so, you know, we all kind of had a system in place and all that kind of stuff. And so when they moved, obviously some things had to change and some things had to adjust. And so some of the stuff that we did was in each of our areas, we all really prepared and kind of took inventory of what we'd worked on and kind of where we want to go from here and that kind of stuff. And I think taking that inventory was really, really helpful and kind of evaluating what we had done so far and maybe, you know, where we want to go from here, that type of stuff. That was really, really helpful. Is there sort of any sort of practical things that in an officer change you think that would be helpful for people to do?
I think communication is so important.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And listening. Communication is not just your sharing. It's your hearing as well. And as you're talking to the congregation you're leaving, you communicate your gratefulness. You communicate your love. And you communicate your confidence in them. I think that encouragement is helpful. As you come into the new place, you listen to hear the heart of each individual, and you don't make too many assumptions. And in fact, as I'm going through this change, I'm thinking about, of course, important thing, the brief of appointment that you leave behind and communicate about people and about the programming and what's happened in the Corps. I've thought about there's certain things I'd like to communicate to the incoming officer that's really vital. And then I have to stop and think, is this just my interpretation of this? I don't want to skew their thinking as they come in. So I've kind of gotten to a habit of leaving a couple things that I said, let me call you a little bit later and just share this maybe unusual thing or not. Let them call you and ask some questions. So that's sometimes.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, because you don't want to give preconceived ideas and have them come in with a stereotype of what's going on. Let them make their own evaluation, because when you see things from a different perspective, you may think that person is not involved, and you may find out that you just didn't realize how shy they were. You know, we all miss different things. And we all tune into different things. So I've always said the Lord the people are ready for the next transition. For the most part, this is true. They're ready for the next transition. At least they may not think so, but God does. And God has faith in them. And so I say to people, it's time for you to grow to the next level. And you have something to offer. And it's right for this Corps officer coming in now. It's good for them and their family and in where they're at in their life. And it's good for, you know, both sides, the soldiers and the officer. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Yeah, no, it does.
Yeah. I'd say from a core member's perspective, like how to set ourselves up right for the change, how to prepare for that. That's a tough one. I like what you said, Colonel, about the communication. I think relating to that is sort of, you have a lot of conflict in communication when values don't match up. And I think this kind of goes back to what I was talking about at the very beginning, maybe when a new officer comes in and their strengths or their passion in ministry is different than maybe yours. And when we recognize that it's all ministry and that a lot of it is, not all of it, but a lot of it is all valuable, some things kind of fall off the edge of like what maybe is ministry for your core. Don't want to get rabbit trailed. when we disagree on the value of maybe one ministry or another, that's where the conflict arises. But when you can see it for what it is, all valuable in God's sight, just someone else's preference, someone else's passion, you start to develop some patience for maybe where they want to focus the energies and times. I think communication is going to come into play, though, because if you sit in that sort of environment where your congregation and your officers' passions maybe don't align, that would just sort of breed some discontent, I think, some disappointment over a long time. You've got to have that communication where you can talk with your officer and say, hey, we can see that you love this thing. This is a huge passion of yours. We want to be behind you on this. But our core here, we really care about this thing. This needs to be a priority too. Can we do both these ministries together? Can we support each other mutually in this thing? If you don't talk about that, if you don't communicate that out, I think it's just going to be disappointment all around.
And we have some great avenues in the Salvation Army through core councils and soldier meetings and things to be able to communicate that. The welcome service is supposed to be done by the core people.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful opportunity for you to say, let me tell you about this core. Not just, we're glad that you're here and platitudes of niceties and, oh, you're wonderful or whatever kind of thing. Tell them about your core, as have somebody give their testimony of what has happened in their life in the last few years. And it's not a testimony to the previous core officer. It's a witness to God of his faithfulness and his goodness. So I think that's a really important aspect, and a good time to do that is to say, this is what our core believes in. This is who we are.
Yeah.
And then also, this is where our needs are.
Yeah.
We need you to do these things.
I like one of the things you just said in there was sort of an identification phrase. You said, this is who we are. Mm-hmm. And again, without that communication, if your officer has something they believe in and you sort of deny that, if you don't acknowledge that passion, you're sort of denying part of their identity, right? That passion or that ministry is what they love to do. And vice versa, if you're the officer coming in and you see what people care about and love and you deny that, you know, that ministry or that need, you're negating something about their identity. This is what the people care about. This is what they really want to see flourish in their congregation. If we don't acknowledge those things, that's tough to recover from.
So
sorry, not trying to be down on it at all.
Jeez, Dave. No, I'm just kidding.
I know.
So last question. If there's sort of one piece of advice that you could give to a youth worker who might be experiencing their first officer change in the next couple of months, obviously the appointment announcement has not, core appointment announcement isn't out yet, but it'll be out soon. And if we have, youth workers who might be going through this change for the very first time, do you have sort of some advice that you would give to them?
Guard your heart and guard your kids. I think I mentioned a little bit earlier, you're going to set the example as the youth leader. And you have some questions. And it's okay to say to the kids, I have a question about this or that. But most of them are, it depends on the age of the kids. But most of them are going through this for the first time. So you're the one that they're looking to. It's not necessarily the new officer coming in.
You have the relationship
with
them.
You have the relationship. Mm-hmm. Use that in a very powerful way for good. And come closer to them. Give a little extra attention to your young people as they're going through the change.
Yeah, I think as a youth leader, I mean, to help prepare young people or anyone in your core for that change, I mean, I would hope you're even kind of thinking about that for yourself, right? There's probably some time where you're going to transition out of your core into a different ministry. So one of the best ways to prepare, I think, for your own transition or for your officer's transition is you've got to get your kids hearing and listening and developing relationships with other people in your congregation. If you're the youth minister who's always the one teaching, always the one talking, always the one leading lessons, you're sort of becoming that, even locally, you're becoming that little celebrity person in your community. And you're going to leave a huge vacuum when you pass on. When you go to the next ministry. Not when you die.
Pass
when
away.
You go on to another ministry. I remember, let me think here. I might have even told the story in a different podcast. I tell it sometimes because it's for my home corps. You may have heard of Bill Himes, the music director. I heard this story. It could just be legend from my home corps, but early on he was asked to sort of lead band, and this is when Oak Brook Terrace was just starting out. And I think the word goes that he said no because he couldn't find sort of someone to help do it with him, right? And so some years went by, and eventually he did find sort of an assistant to do the program with him. And he ended up teaching beginner band for years. I want to say it was like 15 or 20 years he's taught, and I don't know if he still does it. And over that time, he had numerous assistants help him. And he never had to sort of jump out of it and let someone take over, but he was able to train up all these people, and he always had that person who could step in if need be. So for our youth workers, for our corps officers navigating these changes, we've got to bring up people with us in a community to help train up the next generation in any of these things. That way it's not all about us, and that way there's some redundancy for when this change occurs. And then it's not traumatic for people. Suddenly their one and only relationship with their corps is gone. They've built up some of these other relationships then.
And I think that's important, keeping people.
Yeah, that's how we retain.
Not just during transitions, but every day.
Yeah.
Every week of ministry. And a cord of three strands is never broken, not easily broken. And I always look at people and say, are there three ways they're connected to the core? Three other relationships? Are they part of the Sunday worship? Are they part of Sunday school? Are they in another youth thing? How many people do they connect with? And how can we foster more relationships? Because what you just said is very true. The more relationships and other people that they look to who will also hold them accountable, and they feel that they're loved, and all of a sudden they have a family, that's powerful in their lives.
I think the idea of giving ownership is so key. When we went through transition at our church, it was like I was kind of the person leading for a little bit, just for a few months. I was doing like the Sunday morning like teaching. I was trying to host everything, and I could only put a couple of hours into it because I was a volunteer. But the idea was to my mind, I was like, boy, if I don't know how long this is going to take for us to get the new person, but I better start giving some of these jobs to somebody else here because I can't do all this. Like, I'm already limited in my capacity as a volunteer. And so it was all about trying to find the person to take over different things. I used to just run the band, but they had me kind of running everything. So I started passing it off to one of the students. I'm like, you're in charge of the band. Here's the login to Planning Center. Put everything up. Good luck, you know. And the quality suffered a little bit, but she started to learn and started to improve it. I'm no longer involved as much as I was before, but she's still there managing the band. And what's really cool is she's leaving soon, and she's passing it off on to another student as well. And so it's this idea of giving away this ownership, just giving things away and giving away position and letting them grow in those areas. And when the new pastor comes around, they were ready and they were happy, but they were mainly sticking around because of what they were doing, because of their job and their responsibility that they felt that they had at the church. So I think, yeah, passing things off and giving responsibilities to your youth, letting them know, hey, we're in this together. This place is, this community is ours, you know, like I said before. But yeah, I think that's so key, you know, if you want to make it smooth.
Well, I think that's all great advice. That's really practical and really helpful. I would say, I guess my piece of advice would just be to not forget to pray for your leaders. I think that that's so important. And I tell Service Corps this all the time. I challenge the team members to start praying for their leaders even before they find out who their leaders are, what team they're on, and all that kind of stuff, because leadership is hard. Leadership is not easy. I can only imagine as an officer having to uproot every few years, you know. It's not easy. Leadership is hard. And so my piece of advice is just to encourage, like, if you're a youth leader, pray not just individually yourself, but encourage your kids to pray as well. As a group, take time after your teen night or whatever it is, and just take that time and say a prayer for your leaders who are on their way out, but then also your incoming leaders as well. Well, that pretty much does it. But before we go, we want to just spend a few minutes talking about a couple of things that we have going on in the youth department. This year at commissioning, we are super excited. We're going to be having a young adult event happening on Saturday evening. It's going to be a integrated kind of worship service. There'll be food and fellowship, and it's just going to be all around really fun time, I think. And so we just want to invite any young adults who might be coming to commissioning to sign up for that. And the way you sign up is basically just on USW events. When you sign up for commissioning, when you register, there's a little box on there you can check if you want to attend the event. And so we just invite you to come if you're going to be at commissioning. Another thing that we have coming up, which we are super, super excited about in the youth department, is WYI. And so I actually have Heather here with us. And Heather, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on with YI this year?
Absolutely. At WYI this year, we are talking about life. And there will be more information coming out about that theme. But if you're interested in getting registered, registration is open online at wyi2018.usawest.org.
Oh, and that's new, right?
That is new. It's all online. There is no paper forms for you to fill out.
Yes, yes. I'm so excited.
Yep, so no need to download anything. Just go online, fill it out. It'll only take a couple minutes, and you will be set to go to automatically send all the forms to the right people. And it's that easy. Yeah, we'll have the link up on our Facebook page, our Say Network account, sayconnect.com. You can find it all over the place. It's on our Instagram account as well. But there's a couple of reasons why I would really encourage folks to check out WYI. And a few of the reasons why I really get excited about YI in particular. Because at WYI, we really value relationships. It's a part of our Christian faith. Relationships are key, and they're key at YI as well. And that's even demonstrated in the Bible in mentorship style relationships between Eli and Samuel and through the community that the disciples build. Being in community with fellow believers at WYI really allows us to support, teach, and learn from one another and have a good time while doing it, no matter how you have fun.
So what are some of the ways like we get to be in relationship at WYI?
At WYI, a couple of the things that we do is you will stay in cabins. You will have a cabin mentor.
So you're literally living in community.
Literally.
All week.
Yes, exactly. And we're all young adults at YI, so it's not a cabin counselor. You're not being chaperoned. You truly get to hang out with, talk to, and kind of work through different things in your cabin through small group times. But then we also have Redwood groups that we host at WYI, and those are fantastic, a huge hit, where you can hang out, be with people, talk to people who all enjoy doing a similar thing that you do, share a common interest, and that's always a great time at YI. But then outside of that, we also have other activities for your cabins to do and then free time stuff, and you'll get to be in community even with others from your division through divisional rotations as well. So there's lots of opportunity for you to be in community with different groups at YI.
And you don't have to be an extrovert.
You don't
have
community
to be, for no. Introverts too.
Yes. There's always like a journaling and a reading, a silence and solitude opportunity, hiking. If that's what you want to do, is get out into nature, into God's creation, and just hang out by yourself or with a couple other introverts that just don't want to talk that much. That's totally fine too.
That's me. Just kidding. Kind of not.
But another thing I really value about YI, and I know our department does as well, is that we have an opportunity for a different worship style or to expand on our ideas of worship. We know we all worship differently. So at YI, when we craft this week, we look at different outlets for opportunities for worship. If you're the type that likes to jump up and dance around to praise and worship, come to YI because there's an opportunity for that. If you're the kind that likes to journal and read in your cabin and do an independent Bible study, come to YI. There's an opportunity for that. If you like to serve as your style of worship, come to YI. There's an opportunity for that. There's so many outlets for worship at YI during the week. And then the last thing that I think that I personally really love about YI is the biblical teaching. There's lots of opportunities at YI. We have our morning chapel times where we'll have different teachings from
And who's it? Sorry.
Yeah, no.
I cut you off, but who is teaching this year at WYI?
This year we will have Major Amy Reardon coming, and she will be our morning speaker, and she'll bring the word every morning for us. And then we will also have an opportunity to kind of go back and be in a small group setting with your cabin to kind of process that stuff. We'll also have different speakers throughout the evening meetings that will change each night, and you'll have an opportunity to kind of learn from them and engage with your cabin and mentors and divisional leaders to kind of process that as well, to kind of expand on that teaching. But then there's other opportunities for biblical teaching during the week. We have what we have termed in our department church words, and that is a fantastic time. It's shorter time for frames, but it's an opportunity for us to kind of look into these terms that we hear all the time, or people we hear referenced all the time, ideas that maybe we think we understand, but don't quite fully have the knowledge to dive deeper or to really, I don't know, process. Like, there's an opportunity in church words to just kind of get a deeper knowledge of what that really means. Where does that come from? Whether it's the Bible, sanctification, all these other
blessing,
big words I can't
hashtag
pronounce.
Blessed.
Hashtag blessed. Hashtag relationship goals. No. Yeah, that's an opportunity at YI for that as well. For sure. And that's a great time. So there's lots of things that YI will cover. It's a very all-inclusive, well-rounded week for you if you want to have fun, spend time in at a beautiful sacred camp, and be in fellowship with one another, and challenge yourself spiritually, or if you just need to get a week away from the chaos of life, there's a great time for that too. So definitely check out WYI if any of that stuff sounds appealing. It's wyi2018.usawest.org. And the dates for that is July 30th through August 4th. So it's a Monday through a Saturday. You'll be able to return to your core for worship on Sunday morning. And it'll be held at Camp Redwood Glen.
Great. Looking forward to it. Well, we just want to thank everybody for joining us, whether you are in your car or in plugged in to your computer somewhere, wherever you're at. We're just really glad that you took some time out to listen to this episode. And again, we're always looking for suggestions or ideas on topics that you guys would like to hear us kind of talk about a little bit more, things that are interesting and relevant to you in terms of youth ministry. So anyways, leave us a comment or send us a message. Let us know your thoughts, and we will be back with another episode soon. See you guys.